John Decker, thanks for the patience, joins us. He covers the Supreme Court and quite an update and some protest even over the weekend at the homes of U.S. Supreme Court justices. John, take it away.
Well, that's right. This happened over the weekend outside the home of both Justice Samuel Alito, who wrote that draft opinion that was leaked last week, 1 week ago today, and also outside the home of Brett Kavanaugh, who lives not far from where I live. These protests are happening despite the fact that these protesters could certainly make their point known outside the Supreme Court building, but some liberal groups have disclosed where these individuals live, and that's the reason why you see these protests happening outside their personal home just over the weekend, both days of this past weekend.
Now, they leaked their Social Security numbers and tax returns?
I don't believe that's happened. I don't know how they would get that. I think you're being facetious, but
Yes, I am. No, I'm just saying, yeah. not to give Clarence Thomas credit in his talk, but this is an egregious break of something that should never have happened. It shows how politically divisive this country's become, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I don't think that there's a proper place for this. It goes against the idea of decorum in terms of the way that you express your displeasure with opinions of the Supreme Court. You've got a perfect place to express your displeasure peacefully, and that's outside the Supreme Court building. That's typically what has happened over all the years that I've covered the Supreme Court. That's a great place to do it because you get coverage. If you want the media to come out and show you your sign that you're holding and express the way that you're feeling about a certain issue, there's plenty of national media that is readily available to cover that. But for whatever reason, certain groups want to go express their displeasure outside the homes of these justices. And I think that's improper. By the way, last week, Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, outgoing White House press secretary, asked about this, and she refused to take issue with these actions of these protesters. And I don't think that she would appreciate it if protesters hung outside of her home to protest anything that the Biden administration is doing. So I think people should keep that in mind.
Now, John Decker, who covers the Supreme Court, you're also a bar member of the court. John Decker, national correspondent, but someone with, the only legal degree of the respected national White House or national press corps. John, you had said on the show recently, GMI Studios, when I asked, you thought next month, about a month from now, we'd get that ruling, and if it mirrors the leaked draft or not. Do you still think that's a timetable, June?
Yeah, I think end of June, maybe the beginning of July. I don't think it's going to be in any way sped up in terms of when we'll see that final opinion. Typically, the Supreme Court releases its final opinions for this term around that time period, and I think it's going to happen as well with this Mississippi abortion law case.
And there's really no specific definitive way to predict the final vote. You had sort of indicated you thought you wouldn't be surprised a 5-4 decision with Roberts calling
right.
the minority, but there's really no way to lock this thing in, right? I mean, this ruling could be something different, or do you think it's pretty much a done deal?
Well, I think that the ruling in terms of the numbers, I'll stick with what I said, 5-4, but that being said, the final opinion, the one that's released to the public, of the opinion of the court on this Mississippi abortion law case, it may look differently than that first draft, and that's because it's just that, at the first draft. And so the language is really important, Jack. The language is important because it gives an indication as to whether the opinion is narrowly written, narrowly tailored to the facts of this particular case, or it's broadened to apply to other cases that may also impinge the right to privacy. So that's, I think, so important in terms of what actually is ultimately released by the Supreme Court, likely late next month.
And I'm sorry for the extended time. I'm going to let you go, but I noticed at the end of the week, CNN was already, the Chiron graphic on CNN in my studio was already Roe v. Wade, U.S. Supreme Court strikes down Roe v. Wade, and then the underpart was, the leak of the memo by, the brief by Alito. So it's almost like, stirring up the whole environment out there. I had heard from a person who's a pretty good observer of this stuff, like yourself, one of you, you're more adept at it and more razor sharp. But someone who's pretty sharp on this said, that he thinks Roberts is going to try and work the court to basically rule kind of a partial strike down, but not a complete one of Roe v. Wade. Sort of chip away at it, but not completely. Is that, have you heard, does that make sense, or is that something that's a little bit out there?
No, it does make sense to me. I think that if the majority opinion was written by John Roberts, the opinion would be one in which he would uphold the Mississippi abortion law at issue here, but would also at the same time uphold Roe versus Wade. But as we see, John Roberts is not writing the majority opinion. It's Samuel Alito, mm-hmm. and he has a different view on the issue of abortion. That's why you know, this case is a lot different than what John Roberts would like it to be. He is a traditionalist in terms of abiding by precedent, and he views precedent stare decisis as so important in terms of keeping up the traditions of the court and the respect that people should have for this third branch of government.
And I read somewhere that also Thomas, the senior status, he gets to pick who he chose Alito to write that the draft for the majority. Is that right?
Well, the way it works is if the Chief Justice is not in the majority, then the most senior justice after John Roberts would choose who writes the majority opinion, and that would indeed be Clarence Thomas. He is the most senior member of the U.S. Supreme Court.
All right, John Decker, covering the court, Supreme Court. Thanks for joining us, GMI Studios. Thank you for our listening region and a network of news talk stations. Thank you, John.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on today. Bye-bye.